Welcome to episode 3 of the SweatNet Strong Women podcast, where we share stories of amazing women living in our communities. I am your host, Seal, and today we have Lindsay Walter. She is a freelance writer, a runner, an alopecia advocate. Lindsay was diagnosed with alopecia at 2 years old. Alopecia is an autoimmune hair loss condition. It can happen to anyone at any time at any age. About 2.1% of people can and will be affected in their lifetime by it. Alopecia can result in total body hair loss, partial or thinning of the hair. It can grow back completely or not at all. This is called alopecia universalis. I believe that's how you pronounce, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So with all that said, and then I just want to go ahead and welcome you to the show. Lindsay, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited and honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by you, and I've seen you on Instagram and have followed you now for a little while and talked to you now. This is our second time talking, but your attitude about life is amazing. And I really want to kind of jump into the first part of your story where we just talked about what is alopecia. I just kind of shared what that is. I want to go right into this first question. What has been the biggest struggle for you to overcome regarding living with alopecia?
Definitely the biggest struggle for me has been just growing up in a not very supportive kind of environment and family and things like that. I'm really hiding behind my wig for a good 20 years and just always being told growing up that girls were pretty when they had hair, and when that's the kind of message that you have is definitely something that really sticks with you. And also all of the bullying for just, you know, wearing a wig, my lack of eyebrows and eyelashes and things like that. And also just allowing myself to be bullied for so long, just because I never had the confidence to really stand up for myself or tell teachers or anything like that. And just those comments that people made, you know, though those people weren't my friends, those comments really did stick with me for a really long time. And just really learning to just overcome that and just be proud of who I am in my alopecia and see it for all the positives. But I guess really just like my childhood with my alopecia wasn't very great. So just learning how to deal with that as an adult.
Well, just from, and we're going to go into this about you starting to write, but, you know, I've seen some of the articles you've written and telling your story, and part of that is self-love and the confidence. And just when did you reach that point? Like, what was that turning point for you as far as when you really started to accept, like really started to love yourself?
Definitely kind of my senior year of college and a couple of years after that is when I started running marathons, and that was something that was very empowering to me. Just crossing all the finish lines is just like a very great empowering feeling. Just being a part of the running community, everyone I found was very encouraging. No one was ever, you know, making comments about my weight or that I looked different or anything, but rather just congratulating me on the race. And it was like slowly through that I became more confident, and also just realizing, you know, I haven't had hair since 2 years old and it's not gonna grow back. It was definitely the reality that I didn't want to face, but I felt like, you know, I had been kind of on my own for, you know, a couple of years and just kind of being away from the toxic environment that I had growing up, and just seeing like now, you know, I need to be okay with this. This is something that I'm going to have my whole life, and really just taking control of it. But it was definitely like through running, through my faith, and just some really supportive friends who, you know, I eventually told about my alopecia, and they were very supportive, and I had never had that. And I think just having those people that, you know, didn't care whether I had hair or not, was also something that was really helpful.
So I'm sure that you get the question a lot, that people assume that you're sick. Is that something that you experience on the regular? Because, you know, everybody that sees you and knows you, like, you don't have any hair. And I'm sure that that might be something that you face on a regular basis.
Yeah, unfortunately, it happens to me all the time. People will, you know, tell me that I'm so strong and to keep fighting, or ask me how treatment's going, or they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, you can't run a marathon, you know, while you're going through all of this. And, you know, I definitely have mixed feelings about it. I feel like it's definitely the way someone approaches it. Right away, I can always tell if they're coming from a place of concern or people are just, you know, kind of being nosy. I can always gauge that right away. So I definitely try to extend people grace and kind of you know, put myself in their shoes and assume like the best in people. But yeah, there is quite a lot of people that even if I'm just at the grocery store, I'll just make a comment, or I feel the stares or the sympathetic looks or the free stuff, which again, I appreciate, but also kind of don't always like. You know, if I'm in line at Starbucks and someone will be like, "Oh, you're so beautiful," and then, you know, I'll get my coffee for free. And I enjoy it, but also I'm like, I'm not sick. And they're like, "No, just take it. It's okay." And I'm like, okay. Like, so, I mean, yes and no, it's hard, but I know most people are trying to just be nice.
Yeah. And I'm sure that that's difficult. Cause like you're just being you, you know, and you're loving who you are and embracing who you are. And so I just say, keep doing that because your light shines. Like, you're so bright. Your smile is so bright. Everything you're doing, and, you know, just to carry on, like, you're doing awesome. Okay. So let's go into how you got started writing. I know, like, I've been on your Linktree and saw like all the different magazine articles that you've written and put out there. A lot of it has been around your story, but what, you know, have you always been a writer, or kind of what put you like in that direction?
So I definitely wasn't always a writer. I didn't even know it was really something that I really enjoyed until a couple years ago. I had just loved to like write in my journal and my devotional every morning. And I found like it was just a very good outlet. It was very like therapeutic for me. And then, you know, someone had reached out and was like, "You have a really incredible story. Would you like to write for us?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know." Like, it was definitely easier than speaking in front of someone, just because sometimes it can be kind of hard to share like really hard parts of my story to like a live audience. But I found like writing, I could just write everything out. And I actually really enjoyed it. And I found like it also really helped me just to kind of like close chapters on some people and situations and things like that as well, just to kind of write it out. And so, yeah, it was just kind of like through that. And then one thing kind of led to another, and the more opportunities kept coming up. And, you know, it's something I'm really grateful for, not just like for myself to kind of like heal and like accept my alopecia, but for other people. You know, maybe they know someone who has alopecia, maybe it's their son or daughter, but just like to create awareness as well, like for the alopecia community, I think that's really important. Kind of going back to like what people said before, that just because someone doesn't have hair doesn't mean they're sick. And so I think it just really creates a lot of great awareness for the alopecia community, and also just for people who have a visible difference. I think it also can be helpful for them to kind of hear my story, just because a lot of people can relate to it on different levels.
I think that's amazing. Again, it's wonderful what you're doing and being an advocate for the alopecia community, but also just for people in general. It's awesome. So I kind of want to move us out of your writing and into running, because I know you love to run.
I think too.
Every other photo is like, she just finished a marathon. She's starting this. I just ran this morning. Like, this is so great. So that seems to be your choice of exercise. What has been your greatest accomplishment with running so far?
Definitely completing my 50-mile ultra marathon. I did it last April, and, you know, I had ran a bunch of marathons and I had like loved that challenge, but really just to kind of like step it up and say like 50 miles, like, to me that sounded crazy. But just like to complete that in the time that I wanted, that to me has been my biggest accomplishment in running, but also all the marathons as well. I feel like everyone will just always hold like such a special place in my heart. That, yeah, it's really just everything. I'm really thankful for, you know, all the finish lines.
So how many marathons have you done total?
I've done 41 marathons.
Holy cow. See, I didn't know that. Learn something new. Like, that's incredible. Like, okay. Like, it's another 5K.
5Ks are actually harder for me. I would run a marathon before a 5K.
Really? Why is that?
I just think, like, I have never been a sprinter, and I know, like, it's not a full-out sprint in a 5K, but it's definitely a much faster pace. And not for me, I'm more, my comfort zone is definitely, like, eased into, like, a marathon pace. I don't know, I just find that the longer distances are easier for me mentally and physically than, like, running a 5K. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm in, like, the 5K, 10K world, so that's my world. So the 41 marathons is, like, wow. That's so great. Okay, so I want to kind of like keep moving forward with your story and kind of how things have developed. So you being an advocate for alopecia and your desire to give back and to help, there is a way that you have chosen to do this, and I want you to share about it.
So I created a pen pal program called Lindsay's Little Pals. It's really for anyone who has alopecia at any age. I've just have found that more of little kids have been my pen pals. I had just, I think of like what I was like as a child and how I didn't know anyone else who had alopecia. And had I known just one adult who had alopecia and was out living their life, just happy, I know that it would have made a world of difference for me. And so I thought, right away, I need to do something, to help these kids. And, it's hard to meet up with people, especially when people are, all over the world, everyone's busy schedules and stuff like that. So I thought it was just the perfect way to connect with people. And so, I have pen pals all over the country, and it's amazing. I also love to write. And so for me, it's also really great. I feel like I'm helping kids, but just also being that person that I needed when I was younger. And it's just the greatest feeling. I get so excited, probably more excited than the kids do when I get a letter from them. Just because I enjoy it. I enjoy the pictures and the stories and just connecting. And it's not like just about alopecia, but we talk about sports or, what kind of hobbies they're doing in school and things like that. And so just to like really get to be a friend to someone, I feel like it's just really, really special and really rewarding for me.
That's really something special and cool, because for somebody to actually take time and write letters and, instead of it just being, hey, email me, how cool is that? There's a connection there that I think is really, really something special. So that's awesome. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you specifically for Lindsay's Pen Pals, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you with that?
So the majority of people have just emailed me at lhwalter3@gmail.com. Otherwise, there's a lot of people, just because social media is so big, a lot of people will DM me on Instagram or, Facebook or something like that, and that's totally fine too. Just any way you can reach out, more than happy to respond and do anything I can to help.
So cool. And we'll have the rest of her information as far as how you can get in touch with her, Instagram and all that, later on. Moving on to something fun. So let's just go back. You do 41 marathons. What is your go-to for like training when you're in the zone? So like, is it something that you wear every time? Is it a certain song? Like, what is it for you that's like that one piece or one thing you got to have?
Definitely race morning. I always wear a brand new pair of socks for race day. I don't rewear old socks. I'm just really superstitious about that. And so I've gone through a ton of socks. But also I also listen to Nelly Number One. It's so old school, but that's like my pump up song, like in my hotel room or just wherever before. I always need to listen to that song just on repeat all morning long as I'm like drinking my coffee and getting ready. Just that song on repeat. And then when the race actually starts, it's all on Drake the whole time. So
you've got like this whole like thing, this whole warm-up, this whole routine. It's not just one piece or one song. That's awesome. So just kind of as we wrap things up here, what is there something else that you want to share with listeners, or maybe something that's coming up that you're doing, or just something on your heart, like anything that I just kind of want to open this up for you to share right now, if there's something?
I would say just the biggest thing that I'm just like a huge believer in is that whenever you have an opportunity to help someone, always do it. Even if you may not always feel like it, you may not always want to, but I've just found that like choosing to help someone and just like being positive, especially now with everything that is going on in the world, it's definitely a hard time for everyone, but just anything you can, whether it's, smiling at someone or just, being that good friend and that good neighbor that people need. I think that is really important. And also to never judge or make assumptions of someone by just looking at them, whether it's, someone who has a visible difference or anything like that. But just always just kind of thinking before you speak, or even before you kind of second glance or stare at someone, by just, speaking firsthand experience. It definitely is uncomfortable and kind of awkward when people kind of do that double take and whatnot. So just kind of always being aware of like your facial reactions to people and stuff like that. That's what I would say.
Well, and just kind of off of what you just said, is there something that, for somebody like me or anybody really, if you do notice someone with a noticeable difference, like what's the best way for us, or how do we approach that, or how do we approach someone, especially when it's such a visible difference? you know, what is the right thing to do? Do you know, like, instead of asking if you're sick, but like, what is their, you know, what is their right approach, or, you know, is there something, advice you can give?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would just say always remember, it's like not necessarily like your words, but like your deliverance of it as well. So, you know, coming at someone in a very respectful and kind manner, and you can kind of always gauge, you know, if someone kind of wants to have a conversation or not. And I think if you do approach them, make sure that it's like coming from the right place in your heart. I know, like, just making sure like you're not being nosy or prying into someone else's business or forcing your opinions on them. But you know, if it's coming from a place where you're like, oh, like my so-and-so has that, or like you can relate to them in a certain way, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. A lot of times people, you know, will enjoy that opportunity to use it, you know, to educate them on whether it's alopecia or like whatever it may be. But just, yeah, making sure that you're coming from like the right place and just never forcing your opinions on them. I know, like for me, when people are like, you should definitely wear your wig again, or you looked prettier with your wig, or things like that, like that's like the most hurtful comments to me. So I think, yeah, just coming from a place of love and respect. And I think most people are kind of open to talking and like educating it on like what their difference is. But yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I, you know, love is where it's at, and sharing love, and first of all, loving ourselves, which allows us to love other people, is the biggest thing. But just walking through life with love, and, you know, even when you don't know somebody's story, you know, being kind is yeah, part of love. And really that's all we need to do,
yeah,
is continue doing that, just being kind to each other and showing love in that regard. So I just want to say thank you. Yeah, this is great. Like, these are real conversations with people in our communities and women in our communities. And it's an honor to host it and to have the opportunity to have the one-on-one conversation. So I really appreciate your time. And I don't know how many more races you have had. But I know, like, you're such an inspiration with your running and then your story. And so it's just, you're just a total inspiration. So this has been really cool.
Thank you.
If you want to follow Lindsay, she's going to tell you where to do that. And then if you want to get in touch with her, she'll give you just kind of the rundown. So go ahead.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at LindsayHannah3. And then you'll see also kind of like my link tree to like all my different articles and things like that. Also to my personal blog, and I'm more than happy to like help anyone with anything they need. I love to help people. But that's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
I do too. I love to help people. Like, that's just the way it goes. I mean, that just makes me happy. So, it's so fun connecting when everybody has that same attitude. Life is good when it's like that. So thank you all for joining us and tuning in to the SweatNet Strong Women podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please be sure to share it, like it with friends. You can find more information about SweatNet on sweatnet.com or our Instagram at SweatNetCLT. You can follow me personally on Instagram at ItSealSmart. And also, I will be hosting the Be Amazing Weekend here in Charlotte on October 16th and 17th. This is an all-women's weekend. We've got three events happening. One will be a 5K benefiting Girls on the Run. The second event is the Be Amazing Showcase, which is about women like Lindsay who will be sharing their story and celebrating those moments. And then Saturday night, we are going to have a Be Amazing Gala, and I'm excited because we're going to have special entertainment, Men in Bras runway show, which is all to benefit Carolina Breast Friends and giving back. So if you want more information, you can go to the Be Amazing website. You can also follow us on Instagram at the Be Amazing Weekend. So to learn more about all of this, again, you can go to thebeamazingweekend.com. Tune in next week for my next guest, and I'll be dropping that soon. Y'all have a good one.